the 0-2 to Pasquantino. He struck him out swinging on a change in the dirt. One away, and the Yankees are two outs away from the American League Championship Series. And Weaver deals, struck him out swinging high fastball. Two away, the Yankees need one more to go to the American League Championship Series against either Cleveland or Detroit. And Weaver deals to Curiel, a high fly to center, this is it. Judge is there, he makes the catch. Ball game over. American League Division Series over. Yankees win. The Yankees win.
Yes, that line forms on the right.
Babe, how good was it to hear John say that?
Maggie's back in town.
On this baseball Friday morning, back-to-back parties, New York, how we doing? Mets yesterday, the New York Yankees today, the first two teams to clinch and move on to the respective championship series belong to New York as the New York Yankees take down the Kansas City Royals. In four games, winning last night 3-1 in what I am dubbing, and I'm really annoyed that I didn't check with Marco not to use the same word I was going to use, the Redemption Series. That's right. Let's go back in the ALCS for the New York Yankees. And heading into this game, we knew how important it was going to be for Gerrit Cole to be the ace, and for all of you who hit me up. And really, this is for all the hater Yankee fans. I'm sorry. We've had our relationship. It's been a back and forth thing. But tonight, you got to own it. Gerrit Cole, not a lot of, oh, Gerrit Cole isn't an ace. Haven't heard a lot from you last night, as Gerrit Cole is the star of this game, and you knew from early on. Like, listen, this game, immediately, it's one of those games that, look, all right, there's a couple things we do have to say. I'm partying. I'm celebrating. Anytime you win a divisional series, anytime you are one of the final four, anytime you're going back to an ALCS, and for the first time in what, 11 years, 12 years, they'll be in an ALCS and they will not have to play the Houston Astros. And that's part of it too, because we talked about the road and the path that this Yankee team has to get back to a World Series and how imperative it is. And I heard Keith, and I know we want to talk about it as we could be in a collision course, possibly just maybe for a Subway Series. And we'll talk about the difference in the teams, and we can talk about a lot of the different stuff. Here's the main difference. And for a Yankee fan, we have to just own this. This is the truth. This is the difference right now. The Mets yesterday really were a joyful fan. The fan base, it was joy. It was exuberance. They beat the Philadelphia Phillies. The Phillies, who have one of the better teams, better seasons all year. They beat Bryce Harper. They beat a team that was in the World Series 2 years ago, the NLCS last year, a perennial, you know, contender. And there's joy in the way they're doing it, and Lindor's home runs and the specialty of it. When that final out happened for the New York Yankees last night, there's some joy, but there's a lot of relief. That's the difference right now, because the expectations are different, and that's okay. And let's embrace it, Yankee fans. Yes, they had no choice but to win this series. There was no, oh, the season was still pretty good, a division title. No, no, no. We know the road ahead of us. We've talked about it. This was a series the Yankees had to win, and a game they had to win, instead of having to worry about who they were going to pitch in Game 5 back at Yankee Stadium against Reagan's in Kansas City. They had to come out and win this game. And from the jump, Gleyber Torres on the first pitch hits a double up the alley. You got Juan Soto with a base hit, scores the run, and yes, we know, Aaron Judge, who all together had a good baseball game, we'll get to Judge. He hits into the double play, but those two, the first two hitters of this game, and it's 1-0 Yankees, and right away, a little bit of just, all right, a deep breath. And then Cole comes in, and obviously Cole's the star of this game, and he did it on pretty much mainly fastballs. He threw the slider away. He was throwing fastballs and cutters the entire night. Didn't mix in his curveball until later in the game. But Gerrit Cole gave the Yankees what he typically gives the Yankees. I don't want to hear about, oh, you know, he's not an ace. Oh, he was bad in game one. We know the layoff played a difference. We understand the layoff and the 9 days they didn't have to play and what it meant for Gerrit Cole. And we know now what it is. And what this guy does consistently, whether you go back to the Cleveland series 2 years ago, whether you go back to the Tampa Bay series in 2020, whatever you want to bring up, other than the wild card game against the Boston Red Sox in 21 and game one of this series, Gerrit Cole has been a money pitcher for the New York Yankees, and he did it again in a virtuoso performance, completely different. They talked about it over and over in the broadcast. He was slow. He was deliberate. He was on point. And he gave them 7 innings of one-run baseball. The offense did just enough. Again, Stan is unbelievable. He has a double in this game. He's got the base hit that scores Judge off of his double. And they score just enough, 3 runs, 3-1 for a victory. And the offense does just enough. Cole and this bullpen. And let's get to the bullpen that is now what? 15 2/3 of scoreless baseball. You want to talk about where this team can win a championship? You want to talk about, and we'll talk about it, 888-808-1019, who they're going to play next. What matchup would be better? Let's be honest. The Yankees have no business losing to either of these two teams. The Yankees need to be in the World Series, and that's why, yes, there's some joy. Yes, there's elation. Yes, I love to watch the Yankees celebrate and pour champagne all over themselves. Who doesn't? It's a party. It should be a party. But in the back of your mind, it's a little bit of just, all right, we avoided disaster. Because that's what it would have been. Make no mistake. But if you want to get into what makes this team dangerous and why they are the clear-cut best team in the American League and why losing this series would have been a disaster, look no further than this bullpen that continues to do incredible things and shut down a lineup that I have to tell you, as much as I'll tell you Kansas City stinks, and they do, or they're not very good and they're a team that the Yankees shouldn't beat in four like they did, they've got some hitters who scare you. That middle of the lineup, you know, Gurriel, I don't care. He could do nothing all year, have a 600 OPS all season long. I don't care. He shows up in the postseason. This is a guy who's a proven performer, and he scares you at the plate. And Salvador Perez is a World Series MVP. He scares you at the plate. And Bobby Witt Jr. is one of the young players. Didn't do it. Had one hit in the series, I believe, or 2 hits in the series. He had a bad series, but he obviously scares you. But this bullpen, 15 2/3 scoreless innings. Pitching is clearly, it's Giancarlo, maybe a little bit of Glaber, and the pitching. And this bullpen has been unbelievable. And it's part of the redemption series because, let's be honest, this, and I tweeted this out, this series was won on the backs and won by players who the fan base, the media, the overall Yankee universe want nothing to do with at times. And absolutely get more flack and more blame and more heckling. And I'm not even saying it's unfair. I'm not getting on the fans. Giancarlo gives you plenty. He doesn't play. When he does, he struggles for long periods. He comes back from injury. It takes him another month to get his swing together. He'll have periods where he's swinging at balls in the dirt that you cannot believe a Major League Baseball player would swing at or have swings that look like that. I get it. Verdugo was awful all year. I was part of the chorus screaming to bring up Jason Dominguez and bench Verdugo. I was right there with you. But that's who won this series. Verdugo wins game one offensively. Giancarlo Stanton clearly wins game three, huge in game four. He's the offensive star of this series. Gleyber Torres, who I've said right here on this station, on this show, I would not re-sign if he wanted to play for a dollar. Has been unbelievable since becoming the leadoff hitter and was great in this series. Great in this game. Leadoff double comes around to score a run to start the game. Gets a big 2-out hit to give the Yankees their second run in this game. made every single play at second base for all. I know it. Gleyber Torres is going to make a boneheaded play, whether in the base path or in the field, and he's going to cost the Yankees a game. Well, so far through this series, he's been pitch perfect. And then you get to Clay Holmes and this bullpen. But how about Clay Holmes? Clay Holmes has been dominant. A guy nobody wanted to see. A guy everybody needed out of the closer role. And clearly Weaver is the guy. But a guy people didn't want on the playoff roster in fear of the Yankees in love with him. Oh, you can't throw Cole in a big spot. It's ridiculous. You can't throw Cole in a big spot. Well, there he is last night coming in after Gerrit Cole in the eighth inning of a two-run baseball game to secure a victory and send the Yankees on to the ALCS. And there's Clay Holmes striking everybody out. There's Clay Holmes spotting the outside corner with his sinker. There's Clay Holmes being a part of the most ho-hum eighth and ninth inning that I could ever remember in the postseason. Like, that was part of this, like, part of the bullpen and part of this game, other than the moment where Garcia has the issue at second base and bench is clear. And yes, Isbell hits one that we all thought was gone off the bat to tie the game with a two-run homer. But ultimately, this was a very comfortable as a 3-1 game can be. Very comfortable. And then you get to the eighth and ninth inning, and this bullpen comes in, and it's been just absolutely dynamite. And Clay Holmes doesn't just look like someone who I'm not worried, who I'm, you know, okay with pitching in high leverage position. He's not just someone who's come in and hasn't blown a save or hasn't had a typical cardiac Clay moment. He looks like someone who's coming in as an absolute weapon. Him and Weaver look like absolute weapons. So yes, this is the series of redemption for Verdugo, for Torres, for Stanton, for Holmes. And how about somebody else? How about for this manager? How about the job Aaron Boone did in this series? Every single decision he's made was the right one. Every single one. Every time he brings in a reliever and gives up runs, we're sure to get all over him. Well, this bullpen just pitched 15 and two-thirds innings. Give the man his due. They lost Anthony Rizzo a week before the postseason, and they were thrusted into a spot with no real good option at first base. And this guy is mixed and matched first base between Birdie and between Oswaldo Cabrera, and you can't argue with the way he's handled first base. They came in, oh, Birdie, you know, Birdie's first game at first base, a real problem. I mean, you're going to start your career, first ever professional start in the postseason. Well, this guy's turning 3-6 double plays. This guy's making diving stops for double plays in game two. This guy was unbelievable. He comes through with a hit. He played an excellent first base. Oswaldo Cabrera in the games he played, 3 walks, played great defensively. They turned an area of big-time concern into one that you didn't have to worry about. Aaron Boone he pinch run Stanton in this game, but he doesn't pinch run Stanton when everybody was clamoring for it in the sixth inning. Doesn't bench Stanton, doesn't go crazy, doesn't move Aaron Judge, doesn't overreact, doesn't overthink it, doesn't overmanage. He leaves Stanton in there instead of pinch running for him, and Stanton comes through with the home run later in the game, in game three. Just every single move that Aaron Boone made, every lineup decision Aaron Boone made, every single time he brought in a reliever, it was the right call. So add Aaron Boone to the list of Verdugo and Torres and Stanton and Holmes and the rest of the guys that nobody wanted, because you know what? They're the ones who won this series. Yeah, you mix in Cole, who was great in this game, no doubt. And he's the story of this game, the ace of the Yankee staff. But it wasn't Judge. It wasn't Judge. It wasn't Austin Wells, who we all, you know, love and who's come up and the guy who has to play every day. And why is Trevino playing? You need to play Austin Wells every day. Oh, when he went into the cleanup spot, that changed everything. It wasn't the typical guys, the guys we've fallen in love with here. It wasn't even Soto. He's got, you know, a couple RBIs, a big one in this game to give them a 1-0 lead, no doubt. But he's not really someone I look to as, oh, yeah, he was a major force in this series. And while Verdugo wasn't either, he wins you game one. And the decision to play him in game one stands out. The defensive plays he made when you know Jason Dominguez, who everybody wanted, is at the very least a liability out there. And he made every single play in the outfield. He gets the game-winning hit in game one. Torres is great all year. We all wanted him traded at the deadline for a bag of balls. It doesn't matter who. It doesn't matter who we trade him for. Get rid of him, Cash. Get rid of him. Stan's contract is an albatross around the necks of the Yankees organization. Got to have him gone. Can't run. Can't play him. He needs to be benched. DH Dominguez. He continues to prove what he's been in the postseason. And, of course, Clay Holmes. Need I say more? So this was from the group of players that not many people had faith in. And, yes, there are still things to concern yourself with. I said this the other night. I'll say it again. And, by the way, I knew this game was going to be this. I said it on the afternoon show today with Evan. I predicted the bats would still struggle in the series. Michael Wacha is a bad matchup for the middle of the order, or for Judge specifically. And I think they needed to get through a series. I expect them to hit much better moving forward. But I thought this game was going to be 3-1. I called it. I nailed it. And I'm not usually one to pat myself on the back, but I nailed the final score. I don't know why I didn't bet it. But, I mean, you want to look at this group right now. Yes, you're still concerned about the hitting with runners in scoring position. They came through a little bit. Gleyber with a two-out hit. Stanton with the base hit up the middle with the Judge double. Like, there were some hits. There were some good at-bats. Anthony Volpe is someone who I look at in this series who really had some good swings and some good at-bats and then showed feistiness with the play with Garcia. Didn't back down. Went right after him after Garcia had something to say. And despite the fact, let's be fair, that Jazz Chisholm's done nothing in this series, and he, you know, he didn't respond when he called out the Royals for being lucky and became, you know, persona non grata out in Kansas City. He didn't do anything in the series. Came up small in every big spot. But you know what? He's there with the back of his teammates. But if we're going to look forward now, because let's be honest, we can talk about the series, and I will, at 888-808-1019, and we can celebrate it because it deserves to be celebrated. Anytime you make it this far, we could talk about how easy this thing is. I know for a fact many of you were scared in Game 3, series tied up 1-1, score tied at 2. You reach out to me on Twitter, let me know what a dope I am for being positive. The team continues to not score runs in big spots. The team continues to have poor starting pitching that doesn't go deep into the game. They continue to look lifeless, whatever it is that they were accused of in the series. So, yeah, okay, we could talk about the relief I felt, because I'll admit, I felt more relief than joy after this game. I did. That's okay. I did. And that's part of being a Yankee fan, unfortunately. Other than 2017 and maybe 96, I haven't felt a lot of joy through every round of the postseason. Because it's expected. You have to. You have to win these series. You can't lose to the Royals. You have to win it. But that doesn't change the fact they did, and it also doesn't change the fact that every Yankee fan I know, because we all felt it, were worried about losing this series. We're worried about losing it. So enjoy it. Celebrate it, and we will all morning long. But understand what it was. Step one of a path that is fairly characterized as the easiest and best path to get back to a World Series for this New York Yankee group, for this Aaron Boone-led team, for this Aaron Judge-led team. They're not going to face the 100-win Houston Astros. They're not going to face the 6-7 consecutive appearances in the ALCS Houston Astros. They don't have to go slay the dragon. The Detroit Tigers did it for them. They don't have to go play that same team they played in 17 and 19 and 22. They don't have to. They have to get back to the World Series. And what makes them dangerous? What makes them good? First off, they have an ace at the top of the rotation, and don't ever think otherwise again. They have a world-class hitter, the best hitter on the planet in the middle of the lineup who hasn't even got going yet. He gets on base three times in this game, including a double. He's about to take off, and you know it. They still haven't really hit with runners in scoring position. And that's going to get better. And they have a bullpen right now as good as any. I know how good Cleveland's bullpen is, and I know how good Class A is. I'll put this bullpen up right now against any in baseball. And so why you ask me, why am I happy today? Why am I excited about the New York Yankees? Because whoever they play next, they are far better. They'll have a deeper rotation. They'll have just as good a bullpen, and they'll have a much better lineup. This is the best team in the American League. I've been telling you that since the playoffs started. They win this series 3-1 in a four-game series. They do what they have to do, and they move on, and they will play whoever it may be. If it's Detroit, you only have to see Skubal twice. If it's Cleveland, I don't even know who their best pitchers are. Let's be honest. These are matchups against the Central Division that the Yankees are clearly better than. So yesterday was a party and elation and beating a really damn good team in Philadelphia, plus all the heroics and the magic carpet ride that is the Mets. Today's a celebration of step one of a path that has been provided for them to get back to a world championship. They didn't stub their toe. It's still worth celebrating, but it's more matter of fact. First box checked. We did it with redemption. What will it take to get through the next series and back to the World Series? 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan, taking your phone calls on a night where the Yankees pop champagne, on a night where the Yankees clinch a championship series appearance. The Yankees and the Mets, the first two teams in. As later tonight, the Mets will sit back and watch the Dodgers and Padres play to see who has the right to welcome in the New York Mets. And then on Saturday, the Yankee fans will sit back and watch to see who'll come to the Bronx and try and take on the big, bad Yankees. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. So we'll talk about who we think the best matchup is. We'll break down this game. We'll talk about all the guys we don't like who came through and won this series. And we'll try and predict how do we get to and will we get to a Subway Series. Because right now, it feels like to me that the best team in the American League still standing right now is the New York Yankees, and the best team in the National League still standing right now is the New York Mets. We'll get to all of that, as well as the Jets, and some interesting news, and some maybe throwing some perceptions on their head, so we'll talk about that, as well as a Football Friday. Maybe we'll find some time for picks, maybe we won't, maybe we'll talk about Neighbors and whether or not he's going to concerts, and the Giants' chances on a Sunday night against the Cincinnati Bengals. We do have Monday to talk about the Jets as they get ready for a big-time battle against the Buffalo Bills with first place on the line, new coach, new offensive coordinator, or at least call player. Most people say play caller, but I mix it up every once in a while.
Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 2:33 on this clinching Friday morning as the Yankees will now be taking on either the Detroit Tigers or the Cleveland Guardians in the ALCS after what was very much a very, you know, they get the lead on the first two hitters. It's 1-0, and you feel good about that just to, you know, and Cole comes out and gives you a good top of the bottom of the first, and you know you're dealing with a lead. Like, it's always good playing with a lead, clearly. You want to have that last for a while. I've seen so many times between both the Mets and the Yankees, these bounce-back innings where you can't, you know, you put up a run, you come right back. But Cole, you could tell from early on, was throwing nothing but gas, man. Cole dominated with his fastball in this game, the location of it. I mean, he was absolutely dominating. And it felt, you know, very comfortable. The one moment in the sixth, I mean, that's it, where he gives up the one run after getting the two outs and the double play and the whole thing with, you know, Garcia on the base path, which, I mean, look, I obviously in the moment, all I'm thinking of is please don't do anything. Like, we're up 3-0. I thought, you know, Bob Costas and Ron Darling, who had a great series, I thought they were right in this one. They were. Ron said it exactly. Like, I don't want anything. If I'm the Yankees, like, I want no part of this. Bench is clearing. Bullpen comes in over a late slide, which, you know, Jazz obviously came out later and said that he believed it was late on purpose and spikes up and trying to hurt Volpe. I don't know if that was the case or not. He's trying to run as long as he can and try and see if he can get the ball from, you know, either hitting him like we saw, you know, with in the Padre game. When it hit, you know, that's what they're trying to do. So he's probably staying up as long as he can before he gets into the slide. I don't think any, but this is a guy who came out and said they're not afraid of anybody. Him and Jazz have both been on social media here. He's upset. The tag was rough. And listen, I did think he got a forearm in the throat, Garcia, right around there. Like, and even if you're not mad at anyone or blaming anyone for it, you get popped in the throat. There's just, you know, it happens. You get angry. That's how it works. You ever get hit in the throat? Even when you know it's nobody's fault, you're just pissed off. But let's be honest. The Royals aren't in their league. I didn't want to say that while they were still playing because I was fearful anything could happen. You could lose the series and you feel like a dope. But the Royals aren't anywhere near as good as the New York Yankees. They're not. This series proved it. They're not. The Yankees didn't even play that well. The Yankees didn't even play that well. And they took it in four. This Yankee team is far better. Far more talented. Far better. And it's going to be the same thing in the ALCS. Doesn't mean they'll win. But that's what they're heading into. 888-808-1019. But let's celebrate. Let's get to the calls. Mark in Brooklyn. What's up, Mark?
C-Mac, what is up?
What's up?
First of all, thank the good Lord we are done with Bob Costas.
Oh, my God. I've killed him enough. I don't need to do it again. But I got to tell you, when it's in the ninth inning. I know the Yankees have the lead. The Yankees are hitting in the top of the ninth. He had to get in this story about Boone and the jersey and the 6 degrees of separation to Aaron Boone. Like, he had to get it in. He would not have felt, he could not have go home. He could not go home and put his feet up and feel like the job was done without getting in that Aaron Boone story in the ninth inning of this series. Like, it's just, it's mind numbing. It's, it was, and every time, I know Judge is struggling and I know it's a story. And he pointed that out the first time he brought it up today. He's like, you know, I know we're talking about it, but it is a story. I get that. Judge's postseason struggles clearly is a story in the series. But he gives you the same information every single one of Judge's at-bats, the entire at-bat. We're not breaking down the at-bat. We're not talking about a pitch. We're not talking about, oh, you know, the changeup, and would you go inside, outside here, Ron, and try and actually get Ron's opinion as a pitcher who pitched in this league and can break this kind of at-bat down? No. We're talking about Judge's batting average during the regular season versus the postseason. And what he's, like, it's just nonstop. It was driving me crazy.
One that got me was the way he talked about Stanton. The way he talked about Stanton, you might have thought he was going around the bases in a wheelchair. I mean, saying how slow Stanton was. He's not that slow.
Yeah, well, he's pretty slow. But I mean, and I don't even think that he's anti-Yankee necessarily. He just thinks those are the big stories. The Yankees are clearly the story. That's the team with the stars. You know, most people who are watching are probably Yankee fans. So he wants to talk about the Yankees and their issues or their successes. I don't necessarily think that he's anti-Yankee. I just think that he's saying the same things. Oh, especially the Judge at-bats. We know he's struggling. Everyone knows he's struggling. And I'm not saying you can't mention it. But the entire at-bat, instead of breaking down a big at-bat, we are talking about the same things over and over again. And he even gives you the pretense, like, I know we've said this before. Yeah, Bob, you've said it every single time he comes to the plate. Like, give it to me in the first at-bat and then leave it alone, at least for a little bit. Oh, it's killer.
Yep. I got a couple points and a question. So, I think the Yankees offense is going to do a lot, but I personally think they're going to win the World Series. Because they're coming off of a bye, so Judge is struggling, Soto's struggling. I'm going to expect those guys to do better from here on in.
Yeah.
Now, I have a question. Do you think that the Yankees should move Stanton back into the four hole because he's an established playoff hitter as opposed to Wells, which I like Wells, but at this point he's struggling in the playoffs, and he's a rookie. So I think maybe they should move Stanton back into the four hole.
Good.
Yeah.
No, go ahead. What's your next point?
And, I mean, Volpe, unbelievable at bat.
Yep.
And I think it's going to translate in the CS. But would you put Birdie in for Jazz if Jazz continues to struggle?
Yeah,
I know it's a bit early, but I'm just wondering.
Yeah, they just won the series. They played four games. They won three of them. Jazz isn't killing them. You know how I know? Because they're not dead. So I hear your. But the answer is yes. If they get to a game six or a game seven, or if they get deep into the series against whoever they're playing and Jazz continues to have miserable at-bats and doesn't do anything and Birdie's giving you better stuff and you want to play Oswaldo at either third or first and Birdie and play the two of them instead of Jazz Chisholm, yes, of course. I'm open to that. I'm not there yet. I like Jazz and I think he'll come around and I like his athleticism and what he brings, but Birdie brings the base stealing and that kind of athleticism as well. So, yes, I'm not there yet, but of course. He is not Aaron Judge. He's not Giancarlo Stanton. He's not someone who can't be moved, can't be sent. Like, I believe you don't move Judge no matter what. Like, if he goes back into the tank, I don't care. I don't think he will be. I think he's about to take off, quite honestly. But for me, Judge hits third every game of this next series. I don't care what happens. I don't care how he performs. Judge is Judge. He's the best hitter in the league. He's their guy. He's their captain. I'm not moving Aaron Judge for no matter how poorly he plays. There are guys who are like that. Gleyber Torres, right now, I trust him as the leadoff hitter. Even if he struggles during this one series, it's a small sample size. He's been great in the previous series. He's my leadoff hitter. Soto's hitting second. Like, there are things I don't move. Jazz is not one of them. If Jazz isn't very good, Jazz doesn't play. I'm fine with that, you know, three or four games in, especially if they're down. Say they're down 2-1 after three and heading into game four, Jazz hasn't got a hit yet in the series and they're down 2-1 after three. Absolutely, I'm willing to either bench Jazz, move him down, whatever, yes. But I'm not there yet. And then when you get to Stanton, here's the only thing with Stanton, and I got to really, when whoever wins on Saturday, I'll do more work on their bullpen, or I'll watch this game and get an idea, see how many guys, lefties, righties, because the one thing about putting the lefty in between Stanton is that you've seen in situations here, especially, you know, this Royals bullpen had four lefties, four righties. If they get the lane where they're starting the inning with either Soto or Wells sometimes, and with this new rule of facing at least three batters, sometimes by having Wells in between Judge and Stanton, you get Stanton facing left-handed pitching. Like if you put Judge and Stanton together in 3-4, and then the inning starts with Soto, say the fourth inning, Torres makes the final out of the third inning, top of the fourth inning, Soto is leading off. Or whatever inning, later in the game, because I'm talking bullpen here. Whatever inning it is. Soto's leading off. Tie game. Yankees up, down one, whatever. Tight game. And they're already in their bullpen. When you come to that inning, it's probably going to be you're going to bring in a righty. Yeah, you got to face Soto to start it off as a lefty, but then you've got the next two hitters are Judge and Stanton right-handed. You want to bring in a righty. If you have Wells there, now a manager's like, well, I got Soto and then I got Wells. I got just Judge, who everyone knows can't hit in the postseason. So I got two lefties and a righty. Maybe I'll go lefty. One guy gets on. Now I got, you know, theoretically, you could change with a right-handed hitter there, but there's ways to get him lefty relievers against him. So I do value that a little bit, but no, I'm not opposed to moving him up, especially against like a Scooble, right? If they have to face a Scooble, a tough lefty, I have no problem moving him up and moving Wells back to five or something. Absolutely. The way he's been performing, absolutely. But he's come up in big spots. There are ways where this helps him get facing left-handed relievers, and I don't see a need for it just yet. And I do like the lefty-righty, lefty-righty. Jerry in Scotch Plains. What's up, Jerry?
Hey, Hey, what's going on?
What's up, buddy?
Well, I have a couple questions. So I love love too.
I've always said love is, there's nothing better than love.
Well,
it lifts us up where we belong.
All right. Well, school scares me.
Okay.
It does.
Mm-hmm.
And my problem is like, well, what are we going to do if school screws us in the first game?
Well, that's impossible now.
Well,
he's pitching on Saturday. He's not going to pitch game one. He's not going to pitch until game three of the ALCS.
All right. Well, my problem is if we have school and then again we have school again, the idea of a shutout pitcher scares me. That's the only thing.
I understand that, and I don't think you're wrong. And if they would have won the game yesterday, I would have been nervous about that because theoretically he could pitch three times in the series on short rest. He would be on full rest for one, and I believe it would be short rest for they pitch him in game 3 and 7 or 4 and 7. So, yeah, but that's, as I just told you, that's not going to happen. So you're only going to face Skubal twice, and I think the second time would probably be game 7. So you should be able to beat the Tigers without getting a game 7, because who else are they throwing? Like, I'm nervous about Skubal too. You're going to have games 1 and 2. One of them's going to have Cole on the mound. Like, even if you lose the Skubal games, you should win this series. Like, even if Skubal throws no hitters, should be able to win the series. It would have been different if that's why I said I was on with Evan and Tiki today a little bit. They went all the way to the pregame at 7:25. I came in for an hour to hang out with them and talk Yanks. I said, I'm rooting heavy for Cleveland to win this game. I want Skubal to have to pitch a game 5, and he will. So you're going to avoid that. I know your concerns. Yeah, absolutely. But they're going to have to win the games that Skubal doesn't pitch. And again, who are they throwing? And I know they're spunky. I get it. No one's denying the story they're on or what they've done here and how well they've played. And I'm not just tossing them to the side. I'm not saying either Detroit or Cleveland can't win the series. I'm not saying that. They're just not as good. And typically when the Yankees play teams that aren't as good as them in the postseason, they win. When you look at it, they have lost to teams that go to the World Series and win them. They've lost to the Astros. They lost to the World Series champion 2018 Boston Red Sox. They lost to the 20 Rays, who went to the World Series. Like, they've lost to the teams you could argue, at least, that are better, that they're better than the Yankees. You cannot argue, as nice a story as Detroit is, and as good a bullpen Cleveland has, you can't argue they're better than the Yankees. You can't. And if you look at this group, even this poor-performing playoff group that we all hate, blah, 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 they don't lose to teams they're better than. They don't. They beat Cleveland 2 years ago. They beat Oakland and Minnesota in the wild card games. They beat Minnesota in the ALDS. They have beaten the teams they're better than, clearly. They haven't been able to beat the teams that they're or as good at or not as good. Or not as good. So I'm comfortable heading into the series, and I'm not really, like, moving forward. Like, I don't know who I'm wanting now. I guess Detroit, with the idea that Skubal can't pitch, but it really doesn't bother me. Yesterday's game was more important to me than tomorrow's. I needed Skubal to pitch, because the one thing I feared was the Detroit, with Skubal theoretically on short rest, being able to make 3 starts. That's what scared me. Because if he's this dominant pitcher and they lose every game that he pitches, you can't lose a single other game. You got to win all 4 that he doesn't pitch. That got eliminated with the Cleveland win yesterday. So now moving forward, I don't think I'm not going to care that much. I'm going to watch the game, hope it goes 18 innings. They got to use all their bullpen, and that's all I'll root for. But this Yankee team's better than they are, whoever it is. Plain and simple. This Yankee team is better. And they proved it in this series. I know, like, so many fans that I deal with, like, the negativity. You know, it's funny, too, because the owner of the Mets, Steve Cohen, said something about wanting to eliminate the Met fan negativity. He wanted to slay the negativity from the fans around this team. I mean, the Yankee fandom, at least, you know, I'm not saying every, you know, the ones I talk to, the ones who are on Yankee Twitter, that's not everybody. But, I mean, so the negativity around this team, the minute the game is tied, they're going to blow it. They stink. You sound like Mefe. You sound like Sal Licata saying they're not very good. These are Mets fans. I mean, the Yankee fans should be excited about this thing right now. There's a very good chance the Yankees are back in the World Series for the first time since 2009. And once you're there, like I think they're right there with every other team. I do. I think they're just as good. I think that they're just as good as the Dodgers. They're just as good as the Padres. They're just as good as the Mets. They could lose to any of those teams, and I wouldn't feel the same way I would feel about losing to Cleveland or Detroit. You can't lose to them. You can lose to any of the National League teams and at least hold your head up and go, hey, we played a damn good team. We lost. You can't lose this next series. And that's why, as excited as I am, as pumped as I am, I forgot the Martinelli's like an idiot when Evan texted me and I ran over here. Excited as I was to see the team, drink up the champagne, and I'll go home today. After this show at 5 o'clock, I'm going to head home. I'm going to go home. Hopefully the kids are still sleeping. I'm going to turn on the TV, and I'm going to watch this postgame again, and I'm going to watch the DVR again to watch them celebrate. Because I was in the newsroom. I'm thinking about a million things. I turned on the football game for a minute or whatever. Like, I am going to soak it up because it's special and it's fun. But I have to admit, when that ball, as I'm pacing here, and I should tell them, they have the camera in here. I didn't sit the entire game. I'm a nervous wreck during these games, and I hate the DS. I hate the short game series. I'm not kidding. I was more worried that the Yankees were going to lose games 4 and 5 of this series than I was that they're going to lose this next one. I am uber confident heading into the ALCS. Uber confident. I was more worried about those two next games, even with a 2-1 lead, with two to play. I was more worried about finishing off this series than I am about the next one. Once Cleveland won and made sure Skubal pitched game 5, I was more confident that they would win this next series than they would win these two games, or one of these two games. Because anything could happen in a short series. And but Cole stepped up, and this is the end of it too. There's also been a lot of questions answered. All right, Judge is still a question mark, no doubt. Many people think it's been answered in the negative, that he'll never perform. I'm hoping he answers some questions here. And I thought he had a good game. I know he hits the double play in the first inning, but for me, the Judge issue, this was a pot. He walks twice and hits a double and scores a run. Like, they didn't pitch to him, really. And the one time they pitched to him twice, he had a double play and he hit a double in the gap. But he's on base 3 times in this game. He's on base in every game this series. Like, it's not like it's been a disaster. It's not like it's nothing but strikeouts and nothing but offers. Like, he's taken his walks. He's got a couple hits in the series. He's been on base in every single game. It hasn't been a disaster. It's just not been anything near good enough for Aaron Judge. And he wasn't impacting the game enough. But he impacted the game in this game. I have no doubt he's going to tear it up in the American League series. But there are certain things answered. Gerrit Cole is the ace of this staff. That's a big win. That's a big performance. 7 innings, 1 run. And looking every bit that dominant. That's a big-time performance. And my guy, Clay, I didn't want to do it in the open necessarily, but can I just, because you say a bunch of stuff, right? I host, I do 3 hours a night most of the time. I do 5 hours a night a lot of the time. I got to talk. I got to say a lot of things. And I say so much, and I'm not saying I don't believe in it. I do believe in the things I say. But I put out opinions that I wouldn't be maybe so strong about. But you got to be strong opinionated. I have been dying on the Clay Holmes Hill for the entire freaking season. I have battled with so many of you over Clay Holmes that he stinks. You can't pitch him. I don't want him anywhere near a close game. I can't take it. The Yankees are dumb. They don't care about winning. I don't want him on the postseason roster. What an embarrassment. The Yankees keep going to this guy. It's unbelievable. He's going to kill them in the playoffs. I've been arguing against all of this. And to watch Clay Holmes come into this game last night, and to watch Clay Holmes get the biggest outs of multiple games in this series, coming in game three, right? Comes in game three with the tying run at third base and gets out of that inning and then finishes the next one. Game one, pitching the most important innings and bringing stability to a crazy up and down, back and forth game one. Like, you could argue Clay Holmes, other than, I guess, Gerrit Cole in this game, you could argue Clay Holmes is the most impactful pitcher of this series. And there he was last night coming in the eighth inning and just freaking dominant. Dominant. Dominant! Clay Holmes has completely changed the narrative around his performance. I mean, now he's a Yankee who doesn't give up runs in the postseason. We care about October, right? Here we go. Clay Holmes is yet to give up a run in the postseason. He now continues to add to his Yankee record most consecutive innings to start a Yankee career in the postseason. And what Weaver is doing right now, and that's what the biggest thing that gives me confidence moving forward, the biggest thing is that bullpen. And since we're talking about people we hate, how about Brian Cashman? I know he didn't do enough at the deadline. I totally agree. They should have added to it at the time. They desperately needed it. It wasn't the way it is right now. And he completely whiffed. He traded for a guy they DFA'd and a guy who didn't make the postseason roster. He completely whiffed at the trade deadline to get a reliever in here. But look at this bullpen. Look at what he's done. Like, let's just be fair for a second. They talked about it on the broadcast. Weaver was a starting pitcher for the Royals, for the Reds. He was one of the worst starting pitchers in all of baseball. He was pitching for the Royals to an ERA of 6. They bring him in here, and now he's a closer who can get you 5-6 outs in a big game. You know how hard that is? He went through the top of the lineup like a hot knife through butter in this game. The middle of the lineup, should I say. Pascantino, Gurriel. Strikeout, strikeout, fly ball. Cousins, Tim Hill, Hamilton, Clay Holmes. Who are these people? Who are these people that make up one of the better bullpens in baseball right now? Who are they? Because I never heard of them until Brian Cashman transformed them and Matt Blake transformed them into a dynamic bullpen. The bullpen, the middle of this lineup that is going to come through, the ace at the top of the rotation. This is a dangerous team, not just to get through the easy Detroit Tigers or Cleveland Guardians. This is a team capable of winning the whole damn thing.